The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, all summer we're celebrating Irish food producers and all the gorgeous food that this island has to offer. I'm surrounded by delicious things here in the studio. I'm joined by three brilliant fish producers: Mags Kerwin from Goat's Bridge Trout, Cian Lewitt-Fizer from Carlingford Oysters, and Sally Barnes from Woodcock Smokery, who is on the line. You're all so welcome. Thank you for being here.
Claire, thanks for letting us join you this morning.
I'm delighted to have you with us, and you have lovely things to show us this morning. Cian, I might start with you, because your dad started your company, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it was a really fascinating story. Tell us what he did and how he came to be
Ireland. So my dad's Dutch and my mum was from London, and they were in the UK, and they built a little wooden sailing boat and headed off across the Irish Sea and ended up in Carlingford and never left.
Wild. What a wild thing to do.
And then that was in the late 60s, 70s, and jobs were hard to come by. And he was always interested in the sea, and he heard on the radio somebody had a hatchery for the little baby seed oysters. And by chance, he says, oh, I'll try that. And it really just started from that little seed. It all grew.
I'll grow oysters.
Yeah. Yeah, what else, you know?
And it's going well.
It's going fantastic. Yeah, it's great. Every year is getting better. It's always like anybody they got a small business, there's plenty of obstacles and challenges. But, mm-hmm. you know, oysters are getting more popular, and it's lovely to see them being enjoyed.
But they're always more popular outside of Ireland than they are in Ireland, even though we're really good at making them.
Yeah. No, I was just doing the numbers there. I'd say 97% of the oysters in Ireland are all exported. But our sales within Ireland are growing. When my dad kind of retired, and we used to send all the oysters on either Nolan's or O'Toole's on a Friday to France. And that truck used to do a circle of Ireland and pick up a couple of ton on the way, each different bay. And then when my dad retired, I said, well, I want to try and sell our oysters as Carlingford oysters.
Yes.
We went to the UK first because we couldn't sell them in Ireland. But now we're seeing the Irish market growing slowly all the time over the last 10 or 15.
We're getting sense and we're eating
our own. I think people were always afraid to try an oyster because of the texture, and it's raw. It's not something that you would have grown up with. And what I think now, people are more adventurous. They're still scared, but they're willing to take the risk. And 19 times out of 20, if somebody actually tastes the oyster, they'll enjoy it. But it's getting over that initial fear.
Do you like them, Mags?
Absolutely love them. Yeah. Especially if they're Keens.
With some of Mags' caviar on top as well, maybe they're a bit better.
Caviar?
Very caviar posh. My mother told me it was far from caviar. Yeah. I was rare.
Well, listen, that doesn't matter. I mean, tell me about your story.
Well, our story, I suppose I married into the business. I'm out of the horse business into the fish business. I met my husband in UCD. He was studying engineering, I was studying biochemistry. I eventually gave in to my heart and became a fish wife about 33, 34 years ago.
Yeah, but you didn't leave it at that, right?
No, I suppose.
Because you diversified the business when you were told.
We worked
not
very
to.
Closely with Jared's parents for the first number of years, and then myself and Jared took over the business, and we set about, similar to Cian, telling our story, branding our products, adding value, innovating. And similar to Cian, you know, I suppose getting people to understand what an amazing product rainbow trout is, even the taste, the fact that it's not bony, giving them ways to cook. So I suppose we have a similar journey, really, Cian. Maybe ours is not quite as the start was a bit different, but my father-in-law started the business, you know, again, you know, he was doing mink farming, trout farming, and he eventually sticked with the trout farming. So, you know, we're following the path of these innovators when that word, you know, entrepreneurs wasn't even...
The mink were too much trouble, I'd say, were they?
Well, he couldn't do both, he couldn't do both. It was too much work. Mm-hmm. So I suppose we're on the shoulders of these giants, really, aren't we?
I do think, though, the trout is, like the oysters, overlooked a little bit, and it's actually it's a lovely, mild, easy to eat fish, isn't it?
You're now my new brand ambassador.
No,
Claire.
I'm really on board with the trout. I think it's a great one because
honestly, if I won the lottery in the morning, I would put every penny into our business. I think we have such an amazing future. You know, we're investing heavily. We're growing our business. We're doing about 50% of our market now is export, and we're growing that, working very closely with Enterprise Ireland, Morbia and BIM. So we've great supports here in Ireland compared to some of our colleagues overseas.
But you're innovating as well. Like, you're coming up with products that people want and that make it easier for them to access what you're selling.
Yeah, you nearly have to eat it for them sometimes. Yeah, but you have to. You have to make it easy for people, and you have to, you know, put it in front of them. And, you know, for example, our trout patty. I only made that because it was too costly for us in the early days just to taste our barbecued product. And I made the patty and put the recipe on the back of the pack. And people said, no, will you make the patty? So we started to make it. And it's one of our best sellers now. So, you know, you have to be flexible, and you have to flow, and you have to see where it takes you.
Brexit was the big one, right, Cian?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, go on. You can make your feelings
known. Before Brexit, I had a full head of dark hair, and then I looked at photographs from a few years ago and going, what happened to me at all? It was very, very stressful. We were, at the time, maybe 90% or more selling our product into the UK. It was so easy. We used to originally go up to the post office in Uri, which is 10 minutes drive from the factory. It's in the north of Ireland. And we'd put the oysters in the post office and they'd be in London the next day. It was so simple and so easy. And we along with a lot of other Irish food producers, we thought Brexit was going to be a complete, the death knell of our business there. So again, with support from Board B and BIM, we ended up going to trade shows in China and Qingdao and places like that. And looking back on it, it was a hell of an adventure. It was great crack.
And did that work for you?
It did. We were doing maybe 30-40% of our sales in Asia for a while.
But then you have the war in Ukraine, now the war in the Middle
COVID.
East.
COVID. During COVID, every plane in the world was shut. It was on the ground, and the air freight trebled in price, and we just couldn't get them to that market again.
So have you given up on the Asian market?
We still have a little bit going to Asia. Again, because it's been air freighted halfway around the world, you're kind of, you know, you're trying to meet your environmental targets. And, you know, it's great to have customers, and it's always impresses the hell out of people if you're exporting to Singapore and Hong Kong. But if we can get more local markets. So at the moment, myself and Des Moore as an oyster farm in Donegal, the two of us are working with BIM, trying to develop our markets in Europe.
Which makes more sense,
it's the same.
It?
They've got the same health regulations and the same legislation. So it's much simpler, you know.
And what about you, Mags? I mean, did Brexit have an impact on you, COVID, all of that good stuff?
Funny enough, you know, we look back on it now, absolutely. But we actually looked at Brexit as an opportunity because, you know, unlike most people, we actually entered the market just as Brexit broke into the UK. And we felt, you know, once we were ready for the UK customs, et cetera, we felt we were in a strong position to grow our market because a lot of the guys from France, for example, stopped importing things like trout caviar, et cetera, et cetera. So it was actually an opportunity for us. And it's been amazing. We do a bit of business in the UAE as well and a bit in France. And, you know, we are selling everything we're producing. So we're trying to, I suppose, to invest and increase our production. And we will look to Europe, Benelux, those places, and Asia as well, long term.
Is your main market here, though, in Ireland?
50% of our market is in Ireland.
Oh, it's 50-50, is it?
About that, yeah. But I suppose if you're serious about growing your business, you have to be thinking about export because there's only a finite market here in Ireland. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of room to grow in Ireland, absolutely, you know. And, you know, we certainly have. So we would like to increase our market in Ireland, but we also see export as being very important.
Okay, I think Sally's back on a better line now. And if you can hear, if you stick on your headphones there, guys, in the studio with me. Sally, I think we've improved the line. Sally Barnes from Woodcock Smokery. So you told us you married a fisherman. You came to Ireland, you married a fisherman. Then how did you start smoking the fish?
Trial and error. Big argument one evening when he came home from a local lake. He loved angling. He was a commercial fisherman, but if he wasn't at sea, he was out on a lake or on a river fishing. And he came up with five absolutely beautiful big brown trout, and there was two adults in the house, one person with no teeth and the other one a bit picky about her food. So I said, what did you bring five for? We don't have a freezer. You know, what the hell are we supposed to do with these? So big Barney. And then I said, right, OK, let's not continue along that line. That's not productive. How did people store fish in times of plenty for times of less than plenty? Do you know, Mother Nature used to throw stuff at us for 3 weeks a year. Even the salmon run was like that. You'd have really good run of the one sea winter fish, no explanation required, would come in 3 weeks. So in 3 weeks there's a dearth, there's a huge abundance, and then 6 weeks later there's nothing. So that's when we started experimenting with smoking, and then he was left a bad debt, and the consequence of that was 2 years later I got a mechanical, electrically powered kiln, so I could do hot smoking and cold smoking. Taught myself to use it, and started to develop recipes with some feedback from DEFRA and BIM at the time, and developed and worked those recipes to sort of come to something that I thought was an acceptable flavour. It gave me a shelf life. That was the biggest factor, was holding something. I mean, fresh fish spoils so quickly. Mm. Mags will know that, and you'll know that. Well, oysters are a bit better because you can keep them alive for a while, because they are live, and you keep them cool and keep them moist and they'll survive. But fresh fish, poof. So it was a means of preserving some of his catch.
Well, I tried some of your mackerel last night because you sent it up here. Oh. And I know you use this traditional smoking, curing process, but it has... Yeah. Yeah. A really special, different flavour. It's like nothing I've tried before. And I know you gave the instruction not to use lemon with it. And I got it. I understood that once I tasted it. Because if you put lemon with that, you'd destroy it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. You'd just burn it. Yeah. You'd lose all the flavours, you know. Yeah, no, I'm a wagon about that, I'm afraid. it's each to their own, isn't it? I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
It was delicious.
But the mackerel quota going down 80% this year. You know, we are now facing the consequences of acceding to the EU 50 years ago and giving away 95% mostly of what was an incredibly rich resource. We had the most fertile, abundant waters in Europe. So when we joined the EU, you know, the EU wanted the fish. So the big carrot was dangled. Let's have you all involved in the common agricultural policy, and we'll get you this chemical, that chemical, this chemical. So now we've kind of interfered with the soil, the health of the soil. We've absolutely destroyed our rivers. I mean, those five brown trout I keep thinking about, that lake's been dead for 40 odd years. And the chances of them coming back are slim until we as humans realise we cannot live without clean, uncorrupted water.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, where do you get the fish from?
As local as possible, mm-hmm. Baltimore, Union Hall. Because I've always been in the fishing industry, and a lot of the skippers who are now my age, mm-hmm. and older, you know, they would be pals. So you'd know who you're dealing with. But the consequence of banning the drift netting at sea 20 years ago did absolutely nothing to improve the returning numbers of salmon, but it did absolutely annihilate our inshore fishing.
Okay, listen, I've said Sally, that I tried your product, so I'm going to now try what's in front of me here. So you've brought some delicious oysters, Cian. What have you got for me?
So these are our smallest kind of number 4 oysters.
Yeah.
Which are my favourite size anyway. So make sure it's loose there.
How long do these take to grow?
They're about 3 years to grow. Even the small ones, big ones, they're all 3 years mm-hmm. of age.
Is there anything on this now, or am I just tasting?
I'm going to give it to you straight, and then maybe if you're up for a second, I'll put some of Mags as caviar.
Okay.
Or you're the boss, it's your oyster.
No, go on, I'll just have it the way it is.
So,
have one, Ian, Cian?
Yeah, go on, you can have one as well. You can join me. Am I brave doing this live on the radio? Am I? I do like them, but I have to kind of build up to it, you know?
Have a wee sip of the liquid first.
Right.
Don't eat the oyster. Have a sip of the liquid.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's okay.
Like the sea, nice. What do you mean if it's okay?
Well, if somebody's eating their very first oyster with me, I would say sip the water first, because they're terrified.
Yeah.
And sip the water. And if they sip that and it's dreadful, then it's a stop. Mm-hmm. But most people will sip the water and it reminds them of swimming in the sea on holidays or something like that. So it's a nice memory. Yeah.
It's lovely. Do you know what we had? We had Marcus O'Leary, the chef, in here, and made fizzy tomato juice. Is that right? That was like soda water with tomato juice in it. And he said, if you're having oysters, it was salted. That's the key bit that I'm missing.
Like a Bloody Mary is absolutely amazing with an oyster.
But it had no alcohol in it. Right, here it goes.
And the more you chew the oyster, the better it is.
That's lovely.
Is that okay?
It's absolutely delicious.
I'm glad you. That's good
so
breakfast,
fresh.
Gina.
Oh, so nice. I've just dropped the shell. I pity Andrea coming in here after me for lunchtime lime. There's juice all over the place. Do you like it, Mags?
Oh, I love it.
Delicious. Amazing. Absolutely delicious. And what have you got for me?
I bought some Foods and Rathenry crackers, which were amazing. The company down in Rathenry. I have some trout patty and goat's bridge trout caviar on top.
Mm-hmm. And what's this here on my other side?
That's our hot smoked barbecued product.
Okay, lovely. I love this. You could eat this straight out of the packet.
Yeah, you can. That's
usually...
It's delicious. Mm. Really, really nice. And so when it comes to, we're just eating here, you have to forgive us. Would you like one of these?
We're
passing around the pate here with the caviar on it. Mm. In terms of development then, Mags, are you always looking for the next thing?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're always looking at market research. Again, we work very closely with the agencies. And the last couple of years, we start working with Enterprise Ireland as well. So we're very fortunate. So we're looking at trends. We're looking at, you know, what's happening worldwide. In fact, I'm off to Japan next week with a friend of mine, Pat Whelan. So we're going to have a look at what's happening over there. You're all the time bringing stuff back. And, you know,
not with a view to exporting more to Japan, is it? Or
with looking at trends, look at what's happening in all parts of the world. You know, we get the opportunity to travel. We work and play at the same time. You know, I never feel like I'm working. So I just, you know, it's great to see what's happening. You know, what you like to see what everyone else is doing and learn from their successes and their failures. That makes a lot of sense.
And what is the industry like at the moment? Like, is it a tough business to be in?
Well, Sally's been in the business a long time. She's an amazing person, by the way. And she knows what she's talking about in terms of the history of what's happened. You know, what's happening in Ireland in terms of our rivers reminds me of what's happened in Denmark over the years, where they had to shut down all the farms. They had many, many trout farms because of the water quality. And there's two big challenges for our company. One is the water quality. We're not looking after our environment, as Sally said. And the second is licensing. Trying to get licenses renewed is a nightmare. And it's literally holding us back because we are the good guys here. We're trying to invest. We're trying to grow.
So licenses from the state, is that what the challenge is?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're agreeing on that, Kim?
Yeah, it is a bit of a hurdle. You know, like the job we do out on the beach in the weather, and it's fantastic to be outdoors. And then you have to deal with the bureaucracy and the paperwork and licensing. Has been a major issue for anybody involved in aquaculture.
Why though? What is the problem with it? Is it delays or can you explain?
If we knew how to solve that problem, I don't know. You're doing it.
But it's not that you're not. I mean, you're putting your application in for your license,
yes.
And then what happens? Nothing.
It's just the whole. I think the appropriate assessment of all the different licenses is a complicated process.
I think we have the issue is right across the board. There's too much, there's no coordinated effort in terms of license renewal or in terms of water quality. Mm-hmm. There's lots of agencies working on various elements and they're all shrugging their shoulders saying, well, he's responsible for this and this. We need to have a coordinated effort, at the top level to bring it all together. I think that's the biggest issue. If we could do that, maybe we'd have a hope, you know, but it's really holding us back as an industry. We produce, I think it's around 1,000 tons of salmon. We're way below any of our counterparts, even in like Faroe Islands, which is tiny, or Scotland, or obviously Norway is different. But yeah, it's in crisis and it's very difficult, you know.
Well, there's the difficulties, but also there's the delicious food that you're producing, which I'm delighted to have sampled here today. And thank you so much for coming in. Mags Kerwin from Goatsbridge Trout and Cian Lewitt-Pfizer from Carlingford Oysters. And we had Sally Barnes there on the line from Woodcock Smokery. Such a joy to meet such great, wonderful Irish food producers doing so well with our natural resources.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.